Betches Media presents...
He's in the building!
Afternoon Tea with host Sammy Sage.
Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
Presented by the Betches Sub Podcast.
You better hope there's a lot of girls listening to this with the volume turned down.
Your weekly dose of political therapy.
Cardi, that's what I've been doing my whole life.
And now, with this week's guest...
Well, there were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
Your host, Sammy Sage.
Welcome to today's episode of The Afternoon Tea, your companion to the morning announcements and weekly political therapy session brought to you by The Betches Sup. Today's guest is Remy Casimir, a comedian and host of the How Come podcast. We chatted about her experience and journey with the elusive female orgasm, which shouldn't be so elusive, why having a relationship to your own pleasure is crucial with or without a partner, and how letting go of the male gaze makes sex better. With that, let's get the tea from Remy. Remy, welcome to the Afternoon Tea. I am so excited to be chatting with you. I had a great time on your podcast a few weeks ago.
I am so excited to be here having tea with you. This is going to be the best time, and I'm just going to have to resist being best friends for another hour and a half.
I mean, it's already happening, so don't worry about it.
Okay,
so I want to talk to you about sex positivity. Because yes. You have an awesome podcast called the How Come podcast, and you also were on an episode of Netflix Explained about the female orgasm. So yep. I know the way you started this podcast was somewhat unique and kind of like trying to solve your own problem. So will you tell us basically how you started, you know, anything, any background that's relevant to kind of like what you're doing now? And then we'll get into sort of, you know, the nitty gritty of...
death. Yeah. So I started How Come because I had never had an orgasm at the ripe old age of 27. Never, not once, not with a person, not by myself. And I was doing stand-up at the time, and it was the first time that I like really saw people my own age, like women my own age, talking about their own orgasms and being like, I am coming all the time. And I started realizing that like maybe it like wasn't normal for me that I wasn't, because like initially I thought like just women don't have them, and if they did that they're like really lucky, and that it's also like non-essential because like you don't need to come to have a baby,
right.
So yeah, I just started like asking around, like especially after like people's sets, I'd be like, hey, that joke about the orgasms, that was pretty funny, and they'd be like, that wasn't a joke. Like, I
we're
actually
really doing
am having
them.
Orgasms. Yeah. And then I'd like ask kind of like for tips and stuff, or I would tell them that I didn't think I was coming, and they would like give me like these like kind of informal assignments that they were like, oh, you have to do this, you have to get head this way, you have to whatever. And I would usually like not do it or start doing it and give up like any of the things that they would tell me to do.
Like what kind of advice did they give you?
Just like Esther Steinberg was like, you need to rub your clit for like 30 minutes, like just 30 minutes, go to town. And like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's a good suggestion. But like, I don't know. Then I started to feel like broken. And like every time I would do it, I was like, I've never done it before. So like, why would it work out now? And I was just like really in my head and like really didn't know what I was doing or like. So, yeah, I would give up a lot. And then I was like, I just need something that's going to like hold me accountable so that I like can't give up. And I really wanted to start a podcast anyway. And I was like, I should do this. Like, and that way I could like bring people on and like ask them about their first time coming, which like we always do, unless the guest does not want to share. And they tell me about that. And like, they're always so different in so many ways. But then the way that it was structured was they'd have to give me an assignment at the end of every episode that I had to do for the next time. And yeah, I blew my load real early. Episode 6, I came. Now the podcast is like 4 seasons old. So clearly it's not like about me anymore. Like it's about me, and like my journey is still very much going, but it's kind of like, what's wrong with society that like we've led to this point? And then like talking to other people about their sexual proclivities and just like getting a really wide scope on sexuality and like everything else that comes with it or goes into it.
when you were when you realized you were 27 and you had never had an orgasm, mm-hmm. did you have boyfriends that you were unable to have orgasms with? Like, how did, like, how is your dating life affected by that? Or is it sort of like women are just sort of expected to take it or leave it?
I have like a weird relationship with relationships. Like, I only had my first serious boyfriend when I was like a senior in college, like 21 to 24, and like I did realize for the first time with him, because one my friends around then, one of them had been talking about her orgasms, and I said to him 2 years into our relationship, like, hey, like, I don't think I'm doing this. And he was like very open and like, oh my God, like, we have to fix this. Like, I can't believe that. Like, and like totally down. Like, we got toys, like we got like a vibrator, and like later I would learn I'm not much of a vibration gal, but he was like super helpful. But also, I don't know. It's tough because I hadn't cracked myself open. So it's really hard to expect somebody else to do that for you.
Right.
Like, I always say, it's like handing somebody like a 9-sided Rubik's Cube and being like, hey, no one's ever done this. Go ahead. Also, you're naked. Yeah. Like, it's like rude.
Yeah. Was your family really open about sex growing up? Like, were you like, how did you feel starting?
We are a medical family.
Oh.
So like, my dad's a doctor, my mom's a nurse. I always knew medical terms. My mom was really good about saying like, sex should be fun, but then they didn't really get explicit from then on unless we like asked. And she, when the podcast came out, like had a fucking breakdown, not like a breakdown, but like was so sad and like cried because she was like, I thought I told you, like, I'm so sorry.
So she was more upset about like the fact that you had not come rather than that you were like talking about your sex life.
Oh, that's my God. Great. No, she was like, what's funny too is like, with my comedy, like I found an old text from her because I had posted a joke about boogers on Facebook and it was like, Remy, this is unbecoming, like da da da. And so like, she is really like, I don't know, like, oh, how you're gonna be perceived, right? Like, in so many other ways. But sex is very important to her. And also, I think as like a medical professional, she understands how like physically and mentally important it is for people. Like, she probably felt very guilty that all of my orgasms, or the fact that I didn't have orgasms, meant that my sex life was reliant on another person, you know? Right. And that's a really inhibiting thing. Yeah.
So, okay, in the process of having the podcast, how did it, you said it only took you like 6 episodes, but 6 episodes after like 27 years, well, not really 27 years, you weren't like trying to come when you were 2, but like, you know, like after.
I have always had my hands down there. Like, I feel like since I was like 3, like I remember like looking at my vag in the mirror with my friend when I was 4 and like scissoring with a girl when I was like 6. Like, she's been active.
Right.
You know?
It just wasn't what you wanted.
I didn't know that there was an end goal in sight. And also, like, spoiler alert, I have a tiny fucking clit and it needs a clitoral suction toy.
That's something you might not have figured out.
And when I heard about like blowjobs or whatever in sex ed, and then I heard that like the clit and penis have like the same embryonic tissue and like they both get boners and stuff, I was like, ah, I wish there were like tiny mouths so we could get like tiny blowjobs. And they didn't exist at the time, and now they
That's really funny. So, okay, mm-hmm. your first time, like, you did it, did you do it on your own or was it with a partner?
Well, no, it was not. So what was interesting about my first time is like, I was going through these assignments, right? And like,
what were some of the assignments? In case we have some orgasm list listeners, yeah, who are like,
yes,
yeah, it's an important space that you're talking.
I would definitely say listen to those episodes too, so you'll like understand the assignments as well. But I will do like a little speed thing. So the first one was to touch graze over my panties for 30 minutes. Set a timer, 30
That's
minutes.
So long.
Like, get used to dedicating exactly that amount of time to yourself. And I was like, are you fucking joking? And I ended up like crying in that one because I like played like romantic music by accident, like by myself. Like, what a loser.
Gotta do what you gotta do. One, find what turns you on.
But like that wasn't part of the assignment. Like, don't play like sad 90s like Linger by the Cranberries while you're trying to like get off. No, that weirdo. Is,
that is so not the song. But you know what? Everyone has different things that they need. Different conditions.
Yeah, and I love romance, but like it's not my condition. I don't think it is anyone's. But yeah, the second one was to watch porn.
Had you watched porn before?
Because I had, but never like alone and never for pleasure. Like, I feel like the times I'd watched porn was like always like in a group and there were guys there and we were like always very like observant of our reactions because like our reactions were for them.
Right. So, you know? I just want to say it is interesting because you do have like very like open sexual experiences. Like, I've never watched porn. Watched porn in a group. So it's so.
But that's why. Yeah.
That is so interesting that you've had like even prior to this, like, did you really enjoy sex or were you not able to fully enjoy it because you knew that you weren't?
Oh, my God. I loved it. No, I loved it. That's why I was the perfect person for this podcast, because it wasn't like some, not to say like some prude, but like somebody who had done fucking nothing and like you'd be like, oh, well, that's why she hasn't come. It was like I was trying, right. You know, like I would like, I heard about like vibrating razors. Remember like the Mach 3 or whatever that shit was? And like I would try that. Like I tried very hard. I'd like stick fucking hairbrushes with condoms on the tip, like up my cooch. Like I was really trying to do it. And yeah, at a certain point I just felt like, okay, well this must not be for me. Like I've been trying. I've been training.
Yeah.
And I didn't make the team. but yeah, so the second assignment was watch porn, and I'd only done that in like group settings and stuff, and I didn't really like have license like to like do it alone and for pleasure. Like I thought like gross girls did that, you know. And I also still don't really like visual porn. I get like too wrapped up in like, ugh, I can see an ingrown, and like I don't like that guy's head, you know. I'm much more into like audio, if anything.
Okay. Everyone has their own things.
Everyone has their own things. A lot of vulva owners like audio.
Right.
We just do, because like for most of our lives we've been compared to people physically. So to like look at bodies while like thinking about our own bodies can be tough.
Right. That does make so much sense. I feel like I sort of just like years ago like wrote off any sort of porn as being realistic, but yeah, I mean, being unrealistic. Yeah.
No. There's so much. Yeah, no. There, but like the unrealistic shit that we grew up with, obviously super detrimental, but there's like a lot of better made and like female
empowering porn.
Yeah. Or like even just like sweet stuff. Like we had this guy, his name's Jim, but he goes by Feel Good Filth. And he has like some really like kinky, like daddy dom little girl role play, but then he also has like cuddle sessions, like if you want to just like, and he'll like do Foley work with like his cat purring and shit.
Interesting. I mean, human sexuality is very, it's unknown.
Literally something for everyone.
Yeah, okay, so you're talking about your trainings.
My training. Yeah. And then the third assignment was to masturbate while looking in the mirror while already turned on, because I was supposed to like be observing like what part of the clit was most sensitive, because I didn't know that like people have like their own sensitive spots, and so I was supposed to be like looking at like where it moved or whatever. Turns out I'm an upper left hand quadrant person, and yeah, that was interesting. I'd never really looked at it like that before. Then the fourth one Fourth assignment was a two-parter. We wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything wrong with me mentally or physically, like that was inhibiting me. So I went to my gynecologist and had her make sure that all my parts were like in working order. She said yes. And then I went to my therapist and I unloaded all of my like deepest fears and fantasies and was like, I'm scared that I might be attracted to this. And what if I like this kind of fantasy? And she was like, that's normal. That's fine. That doesn't mean you necessarily want to do it. There's nothing wrong with you. And I was like, okay, cool. Weight lifted. Then the fifth assignment, also a two-parter. This one is crazy because at this point I wasn't recording every week. I was doing it. I was giving myself 2 weeks in between. So it felt like a long time that I was like, I just want to like come, like I'm so sick of fucking talking about this. So the fifth assignment, I had two, sexperts and sex workers in who, both offered me their own services. So I went to a female masturbation class with Goddess Lola Jean, which was incredible. It was basically like a yoga class, except for you're learning how to masturbate with your hand.
Were, like, were you there? Like, could you see other people in it?
Of course. But like the first half was clothed and it was like Lola showing us parts on like a vulva puppet. And then she like showed us on herself the things that she had just shown us on the puppet. Like it was like a very gradual thing. And then it was like, okay, everybody, like we're going to take a break, go get some water. Then you're going to take your pants off, have this like towel that you put over your waist and like be on a mat.
Okay. So like nobody like saw anything. So you're not like watching anything. Other people. Okay.
No,
okay.
You're just like looking up while like, it's like Shavasana, but like there's a person putting like coconut oil in your hand and being like, okay, now turn to the left.
Oh my gosh.
Turn it up.
Wait, that is like, that's amazing. I didn't even know that like existed.
I know. And if they're, I don't know if they're still in business, but it's in New York. It's 3F Studios.
Were there a lot of people in it?
It's like 15. It's like the perfect amount. Okay. So then the second half of that one was Dominus Eros, who is a pro dom, offered me a tantric massage. Had a tantric massage while having a boyfriend. He fucking fingered me and stuff. It was crazy. Didn't come that way. And then the way that I ended up having my first orgasm was not even an assignment from the podcast. I went on my other friend's podcast, The Good, the Dad, and the Ugly. And it's like three male comics who only interview female comics. And he was like, have you ever heard of air pulse arousers? Like specifically like this one toy that Rachel Sennett used, who's like another comic who had like never come.
Shiva baby.
Yeah. And
loved it.
Yeah.
So good.
I call her my big though, because she had this orgasm so that it could be passed down to me. And then I had mine and it was literally like the day that I had the tantric massage, it also arrived in the mail and I tried it for like 2 seconds before the massage and I was like, oh, I can't do this because it's going to work. And so then I did the massage and then I came right back home and I was like, okay, it's time. And now this is something I haven't mentioned, but I started and ran the podcast out of my grandmother's house who I lived with.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, Nan, are you in the house? And she like was not around. And I was like, amazing, time for me. And I like set the mood. I put a towel down just in case I was a squirter because a bunch of our guests had been. And I learned that a bunch of people in my family had been after like talking to them.
Wow.
We did a lot of talking. And then Nan comes in. She's like, hello. And I was like, Nan, get in your room. I was like, floor, get in the room. Her like helper. I was like, please just go inside, like watch TV, like put it like loud. I just need like 15 minutes. And they were like, okay. So I like went in my room, closed the door, turned up like Rihanna and like put this thing on my bed. Then I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I think I'm squirting. Like I have to get up. I cannot do this on the bed. Like I have to run to the bathroom. And it's just like fucking squirting and squirting, but like not feeling like I came, like just
your first
like,
time.
Yeah. Just like involuntarily, wow. Like so much water. And so then I was like, but you know that this isn't the feeling because like, you just know. And right. So I like put my hand on the counter. I like looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, don't quit. And I like turned up the settings and then like my legs started shaking and they were like, you can't do this standing. So then I like got on all fours, which I don't masturbate that way anymore ever. Now I'm a more on the on my back, and I would advise first time people do it on your back, because I was like shaking. But yeah, I like came. It was like probably like 3 to 6 orgasms. Like I don't even know. I was so happy, and then just started hysterically crying because it felt like
wow.
Like yeah, there was so much water. It was just like squirt and cry, and it was crazy. Yeah.
So you were, so did you feel like, oh my gosh, like I have achieved this goal that I've been missing?
Yeah.
That is like, did you feel like now I really get it?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I did it. And now do I have to end my podcast?
Did you like tell everybody? Did you like text all your friends?
Oh my God. Everybody. Like my friends told their moms. Like it was crazy, honestly, because it's kind of almost commonplace to be talking about masturbating and coming now. Like every fucking influencer is hawking sex toys, but at the time it was just me who was talking. Mm-hmm. Like not no shade to anybody else, yeah. But legit I felt very uncomfortable, very alone. And then the second I like kind of like raised my hand and was like, I'm out here and I'm not doing this and I'm like trying and I'm horny and I like sex and I, but things are hard and I feel certain ways, like people were like, yeah, we're out here too. Like some of my friends like came out of the woodwork who I hadn't talked to in years, and they were like, I can't come. And people's moms would come up to me and be like, I'm on Klonopin, I can't come. So a lot of people like just started coming out of the woodwork being like, I haven't come either, and like I would really like to talk about this, or like I think I haven't come. Or like my friend's mom came up to me like the first week the podcast came out, and she was like, I'm on Klonopin now and I'm not coming anymore. And I was like, Miss, I don't, I also don't know what is going on.
You're like, I just did it once.
Yeah, no, like I hadn't even done it yet. It was just because I was talking about it.
Right.
That they were like, oh, you must be a fucking expert if you're talking about it. I'm like, no. Like I literally, I listen to old episodes and I'm like, what a naive, stupid idiot. But that's good because like you come on the journey with me. You come on the journey with me.
Well, I think it's good because like, okay, obviously there's a stigma about talking about these sort of things. There's so much
for girls or for people with vulvas, 100%.
The whole concept of like the female orgasm is like an incredibly elusive thing. And I think that I'm just wondering, like in the process of having had this podcast now for 4 seasons, mm-hmm. How has that like changed you? How has your audience sort of evolved in terms of like their comfort level in talking about sex? And just generally their relationships with sex.
Like, so for me personally, I know that it's changed me. Like, I feel like I have grown up and like kind of woken up in a lot of ways and like been like I value women and myself more. With like, there was so much internalized misogyny to unpack and unlearn. And yeah, I feel like once I started, my sister always says this because my sister did like all of our research for the first season. And she always says that I learned how to speak up in the bedroom and the boardroom. And like it really does, like that happened with the listeners too, is like they got more confident in themselves and then they can take that out into the world. And like life doesn't become about how do I make myself the type of person that a guy will like or that other people will like. It's like, how do I make myself the type of person that I like, mm-hmm. you know, and that I love and can make love to and all that shit.
How does your boyfriend, how does he feel about, you know, your life's work in general?
My boyfriend has been with me the entire time for this podcast. So it's not like even if he didn't support it, we probably would be together. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been supportive the entire time. He's also a comedian. So we're accustomed to talking about our lives and our sex lives on stage in front of each other, in front of our friends. So that wasn't that big of a leap for us. And he always was very like down to do whatever and like try stuff with me. But again, I had to unlock me before I could like bring him into the picture.
Right.
You know,
it's definitely, it's so important. So I have a friend who for years she was telling me like she couldn't have an orgasm. And something she once said to me is sort of coming back to me now is that when she was like in college, let's say, like she was having sex so that it could be enjoyable for the men. And yes. like good sex was whether the man seemed pleased and if mm-hmm. she like looked hot and like mm-hmm. So how, you know, in case there are younger listeners now who
yeah.
may still sort of be under that impression.
Yeah.
How do you kind of like, how does someone kind of turn that off, like that sort of observer that you get in your head when you're like trying to please a guy or, you
the
know,
male that could gaze be a girl. That yeah. lives in your head.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. How do you like conquer that, I guess?
It's tough. Because it's so much of what we see in the media is like women arching their backs while they're yeah. coming or whatever. And I'm like, I squeeze my butt in so tight and so ugly when I come. Like, it doesn't look like that. But that's why I think it's really important to do it alone, like a lot, mm-hmm. so that like you know what your routine looks like, and so that like you can kind of do that routine with somebody else. And like the fact of the matter is if somebody's having sex with you, they're attracted to you and they can see you in any pose making any face and they'll still want to fuck you, like,
right,
unless they're a piece of shit, and then you'll know, like,
right.
I don't know, but yeah, it's tough with body stuff, especially, like,
totally.
Because you're like, ugh, do I look fat? But, like, the best things are, like, pulling your stomach fat up sometimes while using a toy. Like, it exposes your clit more. If they're eating you out, like, you want them to push up your stomach fat. Like, that was one of the things. We just had a very requested episode called How Squirt. Because everybody wants to know how to squirt. Because Remy did it, so we have to. But no, just I think it's like the hot sex thing of the year. And we had Kenneth Play on, who is a sex hacker, and Wednesday Martin, and she's a PhD. And we talked about this time that I had just recorded with Wednesday, and her next recording was with Kenneth, and he did a squirting tutorial on her and gave her her first squirt. And his, like, number one thing was relax your stomach, stop trying to like suck in and look skinny.
Yeah,
like the point of sex is not to look skinny. Like I remember having sex with my boyfriend one time when I was like 20 pounds overweight and I was feeling overweight, you know, like just like uncomfortable, but like his little eyes lit up when he was like grabbing my like bigger thighs or whatever, and it like kind of like registered to me that like
they don't care.
He's having a good time still. Yeah.
Right. No, I cannot tell you the trying to suck in when you're having sex, like to try like look hot. Mm-mm. It really does take away from like the whole experience.
It's not about looking hot. You already looked hot. Like they already chose you. Now you're fucking. Right. Okay. And the point of fucking, this is my favorite analogy, because my friend Molly Brenner, she's a comedian too. She had a live show called Molly Brenner Is Not Coming about her personal journey. And she describes it as going to a restaurant, you both order, he gets his food, he eats, you leave. You're still hungry.
Right.
You didn't go to the restaurant so you could watch him eat.
Right.
You went to the restaurant so you could eat. Fucking eat, bitch. And like, you might not look pretty when you're wiping the sauce off your chin, but it's tasty.
That's like a very appropriate description.
So yeah.
Let's say someone understands how to like make themselves orgasm, but they might be mm-hmm. having like communication problems with a partner. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to women or men or anybody who mm-hmm. who wants to be able to communicate better with their partner, what their needs are, like the very specifics, mm-hmm. like,
okay,
like do this, not that, like,
yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
are ways to do that that like aren't scary, to be honest, because it can be definitely intimidating.
Definitely. So I like to bring up sexual stuff in non-sexual moments, not after sex, not before sex, because then it's like really like on the brain and it's kind of like it feels like you're evaluating their performance or like that you're going to be doing that. I like to do it when you're just like having a nice day with your partner. You're already good vibes or whatever. And then if you want to bring up something specific that you want to change or that you want to bring in or that you didn't really like or whatever, you do this thing that Emily Morse taught me about. It's called a compliment sandwich.
Oh, yes.
Where you say, hey, the last time we had sex, it was so fun. I like loved how you kissed my neck. Next time, would you be able to like suck on my thighs and then like, I don't know, maybe go down on me for like 20 minutes? Because you're just so hot. And I think that that would be really hot for us to do together. And like, you're really good at other stuff. So like, I think that you'd be amazing at this.
That was something a very like good compliment sandwich.
It's like, that one was cheesy as fuck, but like also do that for
no,
us.
No, it's, yeah, it sounded natural. But had, okay. So what about like women who have challenge, who are, they don't feel comfortable talking about sex, or they don't know like the words to put to it, or they think their partner's gonna like judge their openness with their sexuality.
They think their partner's gonna judge if they do open up?
If they're like maybe very explicit about it, or like want something that maybe the partner doesn't want.
If you don't like talking, then do show and tell, or like, you know, like show that way. And that's another, we're coming back to like, do it alone first, like do a little dress rehearsal and then give them the show. Like one of my favorite things is to like use a toy, like just while Ben is there, like not necessarily watching, because like you always think of like somebody watching you masturbate is like they're in like a chair, like 5 feet right? away.
Like a therapist.
That's not how it is. Like he'll literally like just like be there to be like some nice warm skin to like give me a hug, maybe kiss if I want to multitask or whatever. But like mostly he's there to let me know that it's about me and that he's kind of like observing like how it's going down, and he gets to like enjoy what that looks like. And right. like you can just do that for your partner. You know, I mean, if it's something where like you can't like eat yourself out and show them that way, but like you could play a fucking podcast maybe where it's like suggesting stuff, you know, like I used to do that too when I was starting out and I wasn't like comfortable talking to Ben. I would play him episodes before I had like fully edited them and be like, hey, do you hear like any sound problems with this? And maybe maybe also if you stumble upon something I say, you'll take that to heart.
Some advice.
Yeah. Or like if you're like comfortable with porn or something, like you could show them that and be like, ooh, that looks fun. Can you do that?
That's a good one.
Try that, you know?
Okay, last question before we move on to our four question segment, which is just like something I do with everybody.
It's a Passover thing.
You know, it's not, but it...
Manishta na.
Yeah, you know, I love when someone recognizes it as a Passover allusion. Okay, so what's a sign that your partner maybe isn't compatible with you sexually, or maybe you're not on the same page in terms of, like, sex positivity, or maybe he doesn't, like, respect your sexuality? And, like, what are some signs or, like, red flags that, you know, you may want to kind of like try exploring something different or a different person?
I'm not really good with signs or red flags, because I do think that people have a lot ingrained in them that might not be how they actually feel about stuff. So sometimes it is a learning journey with somebody who doesn't necessarily understand, like might be that they're, this is just the first time they're hearing of some sex move or your sexuality or whatever it is. You obviously don't ever want somebody to be mean to you or to like tell you that like stuff is weird. But if they do say things like that, you can be like, hey, this is something that like is really important to me. And then their response to that is kind of more telling, is like when you tell them that something is important, like, do they be like, oh, okay, let me like read up more on this subject because I don't want to hurt my person, versus like, well, then you need a different partner because that's fucking weird.
Right.
And yeah, if they don't think that your pleasure is important, that's not good. But again, some guys don't even know that women can come. Like, I didn't think it was a thing because that is such a part of the myth that it's like, oh, the female orgasm, it's so elusive. It doesn't right. happen. And it's like, no, girls are coming, you know, like a
multiple
lot.
Times
yeah.
a day.
That is a very strange narrative. And I don't want to blame the patriarchy, but I'm going to say that it came from that.
Yeah.
And I think if they... If you tell them, hey, I'd really like to come or whatever, like there was a girl who wrote to me and she was like, I hooked up with this guy. We're in college. He came. I didn't. I was really frustrated afterwards. What do I do? I'd really like to have sex with him again, though. I don't know how to like bring it up. And I was like, just tell him, be like, hey, I'd really like to come. Like, I really had fun. But I'd love to come next time. And he'd go, you could do that? You know, like, and that's actually like what happened. He was like, I literally didn't know that you could do that. Like, I've never been with a woman who could do that.
That's wow.
And like, I'm not saying every guy is like ignorant as fuck, but like, I don't know, allow a learning curve, but also don't let somebody be mean to you or disrespect who you are.
Yeah, I think that's definitely important that your partner should care about your pleasure and be open to, you know, what your needs might be. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do the four questions. I ask these same four questions to everybody. It's just like get to know you and like, okay. you know, so they can just know more about you. Although now I feel like a lot of people know a lot about you. Okay, other than...
See, I feel like there's so much more to know.
There is, of course. Okay, other than you are your first orgasm, what is your happiest memory?
Oh my God, that's such a cute question.
Oh, good. I want you to be in a good mood. That's why I ask it.
That's really cute. I don't know if this was my happiest, but this was like... really happy that I've been lately, and I've been like really sad lately. Like this year's been like fucking tough.
Yeah.
And like about like 3 weeks ago, I had like a breakdown. I was like hysterically crying. I like just like did not want to be here anymore. I was like just doubting everything. And I was with Ben, my boyfriend, and he was like driving me around and doing all the things that we do when I'm depressed, taking me for a little like air, then like a walk and some food and talk about it. And so we're talking it over. And then he like takes his wallet out and he goes, okay, I have $3. That's enough. And I was like, enough for what? And like, then I was like, oh, maybe he's going to get me like a red rose or something like that. Like to like cheer me up, like something romantic. And then he pulls up to like this place where we like vacuum our car.
Oh yeah.
When there's ash everywhere. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I love vacuuming the car, but like, and he was like, no, we're not vacuuming the car. We were going through the car wash high with music, and it was so fun, and we sang so loud, and we smoked so much, and like there were all like the different types of shit. Oh yeah. It was so fun. I felt like I was like six again.
That is,
but
that
like
is
high.
Great.
Yeah.
That is great. I mean, it's like the simple memories that, you know,
so sweet.
Keep you going.
Like, yeah. Also like being so disappointed before, being like, what the fuck? Yeah.
You want to vacuum the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. If you could go on vacation with any two people, dead or alive, who would they be and where would you take them? Where would you go?
I think I would like to go with my boyfriend again and my sister and like just go to Paris. I feel like it would be fun.
Nice. That's a good one. It's
like I feel like we'd eat well and we'd have like an excuse to like be fucking chic.
Yeah.
Like him and I don't really get chic, and Charlotte is chic, and it would just be, oh.
She would take you all to the chic places. Is your sister older or younger?
She's younger, but she's like cooler and like more like corporate and, or not more
that
corporate.
That makes her cooler.
No, when I started How Come, she was working as a research associate producer at Last Week Tonight. Like, that's why she was so capable with our research.
Okay, she's like a more official.
She's more official, yeah.
I get what you mean. Okay.
She showers every day, you know?
Yeah. I know what category you're putting her in. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you absolutely horrible at and can't be trusted with?
I am absolutely horrible at scheduling.
Same.
Like, really, really bad at making a plan for the future, because I'm always like, that's never going to happen. Like, yeah, don't trust me with saying like, oh my God, we have to get together. Like, we don't. I don't. Yeah. I'm staying in. I also, this is going to be like very self-exposy, but it's kind of something I'm working on and I'm really into accountability. So I cannot be trusted with people's hearts sometimes because I'm very black and white in that I will cut someone out. Like, I don't know how to like be like medium mad, and I think that hurts people, and I know that it has hurt me when people did it to me, so that's something I'm working on.
Okay, so like less emotionally driven?
Yeah.
I feel that. I can't believe I'm going to ask you this. What is your zodiac?
I'm a Virgo.
Okay. I thought maybe an Aries.
I'm not proud.
Virgos? I have a lot of Virgo friends. My mom's a Virgo.
Oh, a lot. Oh, that's great. Well, that's probably why you like me. Because you're like, you were raised by one, so I'm your mother.
Yeah. Maybe. Jordana's a Virgo.
Okay, great. We're great. If we wield our power in a good way, we can do great things, but we can also be like super evil. And it's like, I don't like being this way.
It's okay. You're growing.
I'm working on it. Yeah. No, I feel like very gross. Like, post-com Remy is like, she is working on herself, because now I have something that's genuinely fun to do. You know, like, yes. Life doesn't just suck. Like, it's like exciting too.
Yeah. I mean, that's what sex is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Although some
sex, good food and laughter, like otherwise, and like weed. Life is like tough. Yeah. And like some kind of thing from the earth that you ingest to be happy.
Yes. Okay. Whether
it's an ass or a joint.
Okay. Last question. If you could solve like any one of the world's problems, you just wave a magic wand, which problem would you solve?
Hunger.
You wouldn't be alone in that answer. We get that answer.
I want to say hunger or housing. The thing is like people give up housing a lot, and so hunger, I think, is more important.
Yes, I love it. Hunger is, yeah. I feel like everyone just deserves food to eat.
If we could give everybody health care and like then like feeding them was under that umbrella of like you're malnourished, you're unhealthy, that is the one that I would do. I would love everyone to be healthy, like, and not worry about their health. I really think that would be so nice.
Right. Like, to not have to worry about being bankrupt.
Yeah.
Or like, if you get sick.
Deciding whether you're going to pay for your meds or therapy or dinner. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah. And then all the people who desperately need therapy because of the trauma they've been through probably can't afford therapy because it's not covered, or some is covered by insurance, but not all.
It makes me cry so much. It's not okay.
Okay. So like, lots of problems to be solved. Hunger, health, healthcare, mental health. Remy, this has been so fun.
Yeah,
this was just like so interesting. I love, you know, your whole attitude towards, you know, female pleasure. And where can everyone find you?
Thank
where can
you.
They follow you?
Come find me on the internet. I am Remy Casimir on Instagram. How Come Podcast is also on Instagram. Those two things, they're also on Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And we have a really cool map on our website on howcomepodcast.com, where if you want to put your first time coming story, you can enter yourself on the map. And
that's really cool. That is like, it's like, did you ever, when you were younger, like have a map where you'd put like a little pin where you went?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My friend got me, that's where the thing was inspired for Christmas. I'm not even Christian, but I got a Christmas present. She got me a map with pins, different colored pins, so we could chart out different cums all over the world. And then we were like, oh, we have to make it digital because there were too many cums.
It's genius. I love that. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Remy. Everyone go follow
her. Thank you. I'm obsessed with you.
Afternoon Tea is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Our editor is Stacey Wong. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow @Betches_sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.